morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boxing. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm here with a very, very special guest, one of the fastest rising fighters in all of the sport of boxing. Lightweight. I don't even know if I can still call him a prospect because he's kind of moving quickly, but I'm going to call him a prospect for now. Derek Scooter Davis. What's going on, Scooter?
Hey, what it do, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. I appreciate you for joining me, man. Listen, you've been in boxing going on 2 years now, a little bit over 2 years, but you have really made a name for yourself within the last year. Everyone's talking about you now. Everyone's, you know, looking to see what's going on with Scooter Davis. So for those who don't know, tell the people, who is Derek Scooter Davis?
Derek Scooter Davis is a kid, 23 years old now, from Washington, D.C. I've been boxing since I was 6-7 years old. 7-0, 7 KOs, soon to be 8-0, 8 KOs. I'm just on a man on a mission trying to put on for my family, my city. And I got things to do. I'm ready to do it.
Now you are about to be 8-0. You return to the ring on September 5th at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in Washington, D.C., on a Pro Box card by No Excuse Promotions. Just tell us about the event, and do you have an opponent yet?
The event, September 5th. I think they changed the name now. It's called the Care First Arena or something.
First Care, something like that.
It's a lot of talent on this Pro Box card. I want to thank No Excuse Promotions and all the people that had a hand, even Mr. Goodman and Mr. Moretti that had a hand in, you know, getting me on the card. Shout out to them. It's a lot of talent on this Pro Box card. It's a Trayvon Marshall, Jordan White is the headline, Benjamin Johnson, again, and then Jordan Roach, actually Lamont's brother, little brother, is on the card. It's a lot of DC talent, and of course myself. I'm just ready to, you know, put on a great show. I'm just happy the fact that I'm able to come back home. That my last two fights, I've been away. I've been in New York and I've been in Norfolk. So on two pretty, you know, high-profile cards. So it's good the feeling to come back home and, you know, let my hometown fans get a chance to see me. And, you know, the tickets are affordable this time because the tickets been crazy. But I'm just happy, man. I'm just blessed in a great position. We just got an opponent. I actually just signed the contract today. A couple of opponents was saying yes, but then when it was time to sign the contract, they said no. So, we just got an opponent. I think he's from Argentina.
Okay. Now, you did mention that Mr. Goodman and Mr. Moretti got you on the card. That's Brad Goodman and Carl Moretti, a top rank. Are you a top rank fighter?
No, I'm still independent right now. They just, they're great friends of Barry Hunter. And again, they just liked me when I fought in the on the Tank Lamont undercard. And after that, they gave me a card. They just said, you know, they would like to, you know, put me on their card. And since I fought on that Norfolk card, they said, hey, are you available to fight on this card? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, we're going to get you a slot. So as of right now, I'm independent. I don't have no contract with anybody right now. So I'm still an independent fighter. But, yes, they did do something and be able to, you know, get me on a slot on the card. So I want to thank them. For sure.
Now, back when I met you in March for the Tank Roach card, you fought Jamal Johnson, first round TKO. What was that experience like, fighting on such a big card and fighting at the Barclays Center for the first time?
Man, that was amazing. Just that whole time, 2025 really just started out with a bang for me. Just coming in the gym, literally coming in the gym New Year's, just like a regular day, and here Javonte Davis' Tank just pops up. Boom, I'm like, oh. And it was like, they just looked at me, they like, yeah, it's time to start camp. And I was just like, it was just happening like abruptly. And so it was fun. And then, you know, being with Tank, you know, it's a whole different, you know, just experience, because you don't know who you're going to see, what you're going to be doing, what time of night, or, you know, what you're just going to be working out. So it was just fun and different. It was never a dull moment. And then, you know, getting to the fight, it was a dream come true for me. You know, I'm a boxing fan. I don't just box. I've really been watching boxing since I was a child. So just seeing all the guys, well, they were on Showtime, seeing all the people now on Amazon Prime, you know, the Steven Espinozas and the Brian Clusters and, you know, the Abner Mares and all the announcers and commentators. I forget the guy's name. He be saying, Mama Mia. I forgot his name, but.
Oh, you talking about Mauro Ranallo?
Yeah, seeing him. They all came to the dressing room to come meet me and, you know, talking. We took pictures and stuff. This is before the fight. So I was really just in awe, you know, because these are the people that I grew up watching. And, you know, I still have it's crazy. I have a pinned tweet right now. And basically it was a stoppage of, you know, I was 13 or 14. And I said in the description, pretty much like, I can't wait to be on Showtime and, you know, they scream and the new. So being with the old Showtime crew and hearing them and talking to them was just like surreal to me, man. I just felt it was a dream come true. I was just excited and I was ready to put on. I kind of was like a little bit just, not mad, but like I was ready for the moment. And some certain people were kind of like, I won't say they were thinking I was going to freeze up or thinking I wasn't going to, you know, the stage, just because it's a pay-per-view card. I never fought a venue like this. They didn't think I was going to produce. So I was, excuse my language, I was just mad. I'm like, hey, y'all got me fucked up. Like, I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been doing this all my life. Like, y'all think I came over here to let y'all just, I'm gonna let this opportunity just to roll past me. Like, nah, I'm gonna step on him, and that's what I did.
Now, before Tank walked into your gym and told you it's time to go to camp, had you like met him before? Like, what kind of relationship did you have with Tank Davis prior to fighting on his card?
Yeah. Me and Tank always been just cool. I've been knowing Tank since I was about 9 years old. You know, again, he always been, you know, from around the way. You know, he always came down to the Headbangers Boxing Gym to spar, to work out. Me and Tank then got cussed out together for, you know, running sprints or not making the time or being late or, you know, just regular gym stuff. Like, he always been somebody around the way, and then he just became Javonte Tank Davis to everybody. So it was just like, now he's a superstar. But he used to come to my fights when I was in the Golden Gloves as a amateur. And, you know, he used to talk in the gym and he used to always comment on my post. And we always had, like, I would say that he always had more of a closer relationship probably with me more than I think any other fighter at the Headbangers Boxing Gym. Like, he would comment on my post. When I was getting older, he'd start commenting on my post, or he'd repost me, or, you know, he'd do little small things that he didn't do for everybody else. You know, Tank is kind of like mischievous. He's not going to really let everybody know his move. He's just going to do it, and it's just like, that's what it is. So for some reason, he just took a liking to me at a very young age and just showed me attention. And it just continued as I continued to grow older. And even before this time, he took me, he flew me to Florida with a couple of my stablemates it was supposed to be the first Rolly Romero fight. We went to Florida, but it ended up being the Isaac Cruz fight. So we was training down there in Florida for our Golden Glove, you know, nationals and all that. And he was training for that. So I didn't get to go to that fight because I had to fly back and fight, you know, that same night. And he took care of business, you know, in L.A. But it was amazing. It's always been great being around Tank, for sure.
Yeah, that is dope. That is dope. And then you fought Naheem Parker on the June card from Tatway. It was supposed to be Keyshawn Davis, but we all know, you know, whatever happened with that. Mm-hmm. But you fought on that card at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, you know, almost like, I don't know how you guys, you know, do the politics over there in the DMV, but it's almost like a homecoming, and it's a big arena. Pernell Whitaker fought there. Obviously, Keyshawn fought there. What was that experience like fighting in that big arena at home?
Again, amazing. It's closer. It was in Virginia, but I mean, it's more closer than, you know, anything else. So a lot of my fans, you know, we had a little bus trip, so I had a lot of my fans come down and, you know, come see me fight. It was amazing. That was a whole totally different experience as well, because now I go from fighting on Amazon Prime on pay-per-view to now I'm on ESPN Top Rank. So dealing with, you know, Mr. Moretti and Mr. Goodman and talking to you know, those guys was just, it was just a different experience. I was excited, you know, getting to meet all the fighters. Most of the top ranked fighters I know, you know, like Troy Osley, or, you know, he comes down. He's actually in the gym right now with us, just training, you know, staying sharp. A lot of the top ranked fighters I met, or being able to see, you know, people just I seen on TV or the announcers and things like that. It was just, it was an amazing experience just to, you know, be on both of the big networks, you know, back to back, to see and compare and see what I liked. And I was just grateful for the opportunity, though. I am not even going to lie. Like, for me, a kid from where I'm from, man, we don't really, you know, get to make it out to these big points. So the fact that I was able to do this and put on for my city and, you know, just have put out a good showing, it was just amazing for me. And I want to continue to be able to do things like that and keep making my name a household name.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now, obviously, that whole call was a little bit crazy. You know, I don't know where you were when the whole incident popped off, man. But what did you think of, like, everything that was going on behind the scenes? Because it was lit back there.
Yeah, it was crazy. I actually had just left out the back, because I was in the back the entire time, just, you know, doing interviews. And they had a little section where we can, you know, they had free food for us, free drinks and stuff, and we can watch the fights on the TV. You know, I was just with my team. We were just, you know, chilling, lounging around, recapping the fight. And then it was time for me. I'm like, okay, I want to go see my fans, you know, my supporters that came up to see me. So I had just walked out. And then when I'm walking out and, you know, giving people, you know, hugs and taking pictures, I had went on live. And when I went on live, I had seen everybody like, did you see what just happened with Keyshawn? I'm like, what y'all talking about? And, I mean, I really don't have nothing to say on that. I have nothing to do with it. I mean, I wasn't there to really see exactly what happened, but I just hope I'm never one to tear down a fighter, or especially a DMV fighter. So I hope that whatever happens, they can all get back on their feet and still be able to rise to the top. And, you know, just continue to put on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, that was a good experience, though, for you, man. So, like, you know, obviously, PBC, those guys, they rolled out the red carpet for you. Seems like Top Rank did the same thing. Like, how would you, like compare, like, your experiences, you know, with both? I'm going to ask you to choose who was better, but how would you compare the two experiences?
They were both amazing. I really can't even... I can't even really disclose certain things, but they both were amazing. Thank you. You know, Amazon Prime. Thank you, PBC. Thank you, Top Rank, ESPN, just for giving a kid like me an opportunity like that. They definitely are different networks. They definitely go in different directions, but they both are great. So, I mean, I feel like I just was blessed to be in that, have that opportunity, honestly.
Now, could you see yourself, you know, side with a Top Rank or fighting on a PBC platform, like side with, you know, I don't know if Tank side fights with GCD Promotions, but obviously you got Louis DeCubas, you got Samson out there, you got TGB. Could you see yourself on, like, the PBC platform or the Top Rank platform in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe, anyway, just... You know, you can stay independent for, you know, a while now, but I believe that to get to them belts and, you know, get shots and things like that, title eliminators, you have to, you know, come into the promotion companies, because they control, you know, they control the cars. They know how to move this and move that for you to be able to get these opportunities. It's kind of hard to do that exactly on your own when you're independent, you don't have anybody backing you. So, of course, yes, the goal is to sign and, you know, be with the promotion company. But, I mean, I can't disclose. Certain things I just can't disclose. But, yeah, I definitely see myself signing with the company. I'm not going to disclose which one or what's going on. But, yeah, I definitely see myself in the future.
Hey, listen, I ain't gonna hold you, man. Anybody at PBC that will listen to me, I've been telling them, yo, y'all need to sign Scooter Davis. I'm like, what are y'all doing, Scooter Davis? Sign Scooter. I swear to God, I've been telling them that, man.
I appreciate that, Matt.
Hey, I want, because listen, when I met you, man, you was real cool. You're, like, real personable. You do interviews with everybody. You even said yourself, I think I spoke to you on the Boxing Source, and you was like, listen, I'm doing interviews everywhere. I don't care. I'm getting my name out there. Whoever want to talk, I'm talking.
Yeah, literally. That's literally my mindset. I mean, because for me, I was explaining like I explained to you in that conversation, man. You know, where I'm from, or, you know, I remember when people didn't want to, you know, talk to me, or, you know, people wasn't worried about me. I wasn't the draw, or I wasn't nobody that they felt had enough notoriety to, yeah, let's get an interview. It was just, you know, certain people in my hometown. So, like, I still be just in awe, like, y'all want to talk to me? Yeah, I'm interested. You know what I'm saying? So it'd be cool just to, you know, it'd be cool just to be able to tell my story and people just really get to understand my personality. Like, I can't wait to, I'm still taking care of my business, and you guys really get to see my personality. Like, I'm a goofy, fun person. Like, I'm always playing all day. So, like, I can't wait to, like, I really get to show my personality to the boxing world, and the, you know, it's alongside my skills and my me articulating myself and just everything I have to offer. And I feel like I have a lot to offer, and the world is just going to see as I get older and as I keep getting opportunities.
Now, you've also been showcasing your skills in the ring, obviously. 7 fights, 7 wins, 7 knockouts. Are you a knockout artist?
It looks like that.
Yeah, it does.
It looks like that, you know? It was crazy, but I really don't go in there for the knockout. It's just, I guess God will bless me with the ability to, you know, hit you and hurt you. You know, I'm a fighter that likes to take his time, likes to set up his shots, and I really believe I work on, you know, setting up that perfect shot. And if I hit you on your dome, it's not a lot of people that is going to be able to take that. I believe that you're either going to be hurt or down, or, you know, or you're going to be stunned. And I mean, again, it's shark season, so if I smell that blood, it's over.
Now, who's been your toughest fight so far, be it pros or the amateurs? I know the pros ain't been so tough so far, but who's been your toughest fight so far throughout your whole career?
Toughest fight? I had a lot of good fights in the amateurs. Notable names. Let me just name a couple, just run them off a little bit. I done fought Xander Zayas, that just won his world title. We got, it was a 3-2 split in the national championships.
Really?
We fought.
Well, what weight was he at?
This is right before he blew up. It was crazy. We was fighting at 125. We fought in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We fought at 125 in the national championships. He won the 3-2 split. I was so mad because I felt like I won. And then literally, I think that was in March. I think the next qualifier was probably in, I don't know, something like October or something. The next time I seen Xander, he was 154. It was just like that. I was so mad because I knew I wasn't going to ever get that big to run it back. But it was just like, bro, you just had a growth spurt that fast? Yeah, so we duked it out. Of course, in my hometown, me and Jaleel Hackett fought twice. I won twice. We had 2 packed out events. That's my brother, you know. I'll root for anybody that's in the DMV. Of course, I fought Ernesto Mercado in the national qualifiers. Who else? Let me name some names.
I think you fought Vashawn Lee, if I'm not mistaken.
I fought Vashawn Lee in the Summer Festival.
I think Mike Gamble.
Yeah, Michael Gamble. We fought twice. Yes. We fought twice. We went 1-1. The first time I beat him, the second time he won. And then, I don't know, I think he had gotten into some trouble. And again, because a lot of those guys, the Ohio crew, like rest in peace, Coach Mike Stafford, you know, we were really close. You know, all of it, they would come down because, you know, AB will always come down and train with Coach Barry and Coach Boogie as well. So, you know, they would bring their fighters, they would bring the band camp fighters down, and we would spar and doing things. So, like, we had a great relationship. So it was always competitive and fun. So, yeah, me and Michael had got it in. Let me think. I've fought so much. I almost had close to 200 amateur fights. That was 158 and 17.
God damn.
So, yeah, I was 158 and 17. So I done fought a lot of guys. I just sometimes, like, the guys that I thought that were going to be great pros didn't end up, you know, becoming the, or they, you know, something happened, they either fell to the streets or, you know, they boxing careers didn't pan out. So, like, a lot of the names that I be thinking that was going to be there, and they're not there. So, I'll lose certain fighters. They be like, okay, he's not, they don't actually know him.
Now, let me ask you a question. Who's the guy that you fought in the amateurs that...
Oh, Jamal Harvey. I forgot. Jamal Harvey, he actually fighting.
Oh, he's good, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I fought
he's fighting.
I won.
But is there anyone that you fought where, like, you're kind of surprised, like, how good they are in the pros?
Nah. Really, honestly, I feel like anybody that... I was fighting. I was always in the stock weight classes. So people know, like, it was like the 125s or 132s or 139s. And that little area, I never got to 147, but that area was always the area where, like, where the best fighters were. Like, the smoke was. Like, if you were a good fight, even like Keyshawn or something, I didn't get to fight them guys, but they were older. So you will hear about all these fighters, but they were in my weight class, just older. And it was like, wow, these guys are amazing. So now seeing them in the pros, it's like, yeah, you kind of seen that. We kind of seen that coming. We would go to the Nationals and be young. I would be, you know, 13, 14, and I would be waiting for the elites to fight. And we all surround the ring, like, you know, watching them because they were the big thing to us. So being able to watch Tiger Johnson, like, I remember when Tiger came through, like, everybody was just watching, you know, his fights. He was just exciting. Being around Duke Reagan, he was actually with us when he won his first national qualifier and got on the team. Been around, you know, Lorenzo Truck Simpson from Baltimore. Like, I think he was probably one of the most decorated amateurs from the DMV I ever seen. Just so many people. Just around. I seen before, what's the guy? I think Raymond Ford, I seen him fight. And before really people was calling his name and really knowing who he was, he was knocking people out, stopping people in the amateurs. He was known as a fast power puncher. So it was like, you seen guys that I mentioned now, you just didn't know exactly when they were going to get their chance or when they were going to, you know, blow up, but you seen the potential. Honestly.
Yeah, and now it seems like, you know, you're next up. You know, I was talking to Mike Fox a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. about the DMV scene, and you are one of the leaders of the new school. So just tell the people what it's like out there, like the competitive nature in the DMV right now.
Oh, yeah. In the DMV, we get down, like... It's still, as much as, see, I'm trying to change the culture. So you hear me, you'll hear a lot of me saying that, you know, I don't hate on people, or I'm big up in, you know, my people that's from the DMV or DC area. But DC is messed up, man. It's a crabs in a barrel mindset. They will kick you down to get to the top.
Honestly. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, this, I'm just not, I wasn't raised like that. My parents didn't raise me to be envious or jealous of people. So, you know, I run my own race. But the competitive nature, man, we all trying to be the best. We all trying to get to where Tank is. We're all trying to be that cash cow. So we all trying to get noticed. So it's like it's a different level. And honestly, man, it really used to be harder fights in the locals than it was in the regionals and nationals. That's how competitive it was in the DMV. Like, I wasn't thinking about what I was going to see in the nationals or the regionals or, you know, the Cali guys or the Texas guys. Like, no, those wasn't the fighters. It was the DMV fighters. So, like, that's why, so not even to get off topic, but that's why I knew that, you know, the Tank and Lamont fight was going to be a great fight, because it's just DC DMV styles. We just have a great style. It meshes for a great fight. But a lot of people don't see too many DMV fighters, you know, fighting. So the fact that, you know, them guys got to get it on in front of the whole world, it gives a guy like me hope, you know, that we can put on, and I can, they can, again, now eyes are being looked at, like, okay, let's pay attention to the D.C. area now. Like, they got some fighters, like, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, man, and, like, you're really making a name for yourself, man. Like, I'm proud of seeing the progress. You know, my guy from the Boxing Source, J.R. Bell, he put me on to you, and I was like, yeah, nah, this kid is good, man. So I was like, I couldn't wait to see you in person. So I saw you live at the Tank fight, man. I was like, yeah, this kid is hitting, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I was like, let's go, man. This kid is hitting. I'm like, hey, but I wanted to talk to you because you did mention that you know, some of the guys that you came up with in the amateurs that you thought was maybe going to make it, you know, kind of fell by the wayside, whether it was they didn't pan out or to the streets. Like, how did you avoid succumbing to the streets? Because obviously where we all come from, it's very easy to be caught up in the streets. How did you avoid that?
Really, my upbringing and my parents just kept me active. Like, since I was the age of 4, I was in sports. I was either playing football, I was running track, or I was boxing, I was doing something. And I've been around, you know, most of the most notorious, you know, gangsters and killers and dope boys all my life. But, like, they were the ones that always telling me, like, you know, we do this, but, you know what I'm saying, we're not allowing you to do this. So even if I wanted to go outside to go do anything, like, they like, nah, you gonna be the one to make it, or my family would be the one, like, they wouldn't let me do certain stuff, or they would, when they were going out or going to go do stuff, they would take me home, like, nah, you're not doing this, we're not allowing you to. So it was just so many people that was just pushing me away, which I thank them now. And again, my biggest impact is my father always just stayed on me and was there from the beginning, even when I didn't believe, or he was the first one to believe in me and, you know, just continue to take me to practice and let me know that I'm special and let me know that I had God-given ability that everybody didn't have. And so I had to, he showed me what it was to just hone in and work on your craft and day in and day out, just continue to work and harness that dream. And now, you know, it panned out to be what it is now. So I thank everybody that had a hand in just keeping me focused and, you know, just having my back and making sure that I become everything I need to become. And this is just the beginning. So I can't wait to see what my ceiling is.
Now, you mentioned how you love to make sure you put on for your city. You like to put on great performances, you know, show your city in a good light. With the notoriety you've been gaining over the last year, have you noticed, like, maybe a change in how your city looks at you, like the up-and-coming guys, like, that's behind you? Maybe they're looking up to you now the same way you looked up to the Tank Davises growing up?
Yeah, I could feel that a little bit. I could feel that the next generation, you know, follows my Instagram, my social medias and stuff. And, yeah, I can tell they're looking up to me. But then on the other side, again, I told you, when there's crabs in the barrel mindset in DMV, so a lot of guys are kind of hating as well. So I kind of stay away. But I still, you know, still touch into, like, I like to deal with the youth. So, like, I even now I coach 10-year-olds. Now, I started coaching football. I coach 10-year-old football kids, and I like to tap into, you know, kids that still are pure. They don't have that hate and evil into their heart, because those are the ones that you can make a change with. The people that already are grown, you know, they're going to have their envious or jealousy and things, and I can't focus on that because they are who they are. I'm just going to continue to do what they do, and I'm not going to let what they do or say affect me. I'm just going to keep showing you. And the way I make a hater mad is just continue to be on TV, keep doing my thing, you know what I mean? But I like to tap in with the youth, man. Those are the ones that actually, you know, make my day. When I come into a gym, or if some young fighters come into a gym, and you could just tell the way they just look at you and they just be smiling and just in awe. And I just be looking, I'd be like, you want to take a picture? And they just be like, you want to take a picture? I'm like, yeah, come on. Again, I still hold that same, you know, feeling where I can't believe that I'm the one that y'all want to take a picture with or look up to. Or so I want to take a picture with everybody. If you know Derek Scooter Davis, like, yeah, please come right over and say what's up. I'm the most, the humblest, you know, I have humility. I will just come over there and have a full-blown conversation with you, just meeting you 5 seconds ago, just because you just was genuine. I like genuine energy.
Nah, no doubt. Now, you did experience a little I want to say weird energy, but you experienced that boxing Twitter energy recently, man. I saw you fighting for your life on the timeline, man. After Tank versus Jake Paul got announced.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was super crazy. My page is still going crazy. Like, I'm like, oh my God.
That's your walk through the boxing Twitter moment, man.
Yeah. It's the fact I was telling my dad, like, I ain't never been through nothing like this. And he was like, your name is getting to a space where people are actually looking at your opinion, you know, because if I wasn't who I was and I wasn't a name and or if I wasn't as associated with Tank or close, people wouldn't respect my opinion. But the fact that I am, they're looking at it like, oh, this is his mind sort of, oh, like I'm speaking for Tank. Like, I'm not speaking for nobody but myself and my total opinion. But you know what I'm saying? I don't have time to, I don't want to be negative, like, two people. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be the person that keep clapping back and cursing and all that, because I still care about my image. I want to be able to have endorsements and, you know, be on buses and things like that. So you're not going to really see me be cursing a whole lot or telling people, you know, saying crazy remarks. Like, I guess it was a guy that said something. I think he's like a Devin Haney fan. That's what they were saying. Like, he's a big Devin Haney fan of Jay and Bat, right? So he said,
what was something. That? Was that 99 Jay overall?
Yeah, him, right? he said something out of the way, basically like, I'm a bum and whatever. And I caught myself, you know, Ray, I was mad because, like, a bum. I ain't never been a bum in my life. Like, who are you talking about? You know? But then it was like, you know what? This is guys that never really laced up a pair of gloves or so don't really take it personal. And these guys won't really say these things to your face when they see you. But even if they do, like me, I'm the type of person, I'm going to kill you with kindness. So I'm going to hit you with this slight Bible verse right here. So what you going to say back to this? And then I'm gonna promote my fight as well. So I'm not even clapping back at you. I'm gonna let God handle you, pretty much. That's my response. I'm gonna let God and the Lord handle you, and I'm gonna continue to do my thing. But you gonna watch me as the you know what I'm saying, as God make you my footstool.
He be wilding sometimes, man. Yeah. But he a kid. He like 17, 18. He like a little kid, man. So.
No, I don't be knowing. I don't even be on Twitter like this. Like that was the thing. I never wanted my Twitter to blow up or get followers because it was just like I always just wanted to just, you know, see what's going on. Like Twitter is how I keep up with boxing stuff or all the new news or, you know, what's being said. So I always just like, you know, just to watch and, you know, just creep and see what's going on. Like, okay. But now it's like, dang, I can't even say anything because if I say something, somebody gonna have an opinion. I'm like, oh man, so I gotta watch my words on here.
Hey man, you here now, man? That listen, hashtag still adjusting the fame, man. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, it's different. It's definitely different. It's definitely gotta get a little used to. I mean, getting used to, but.
I'll be telling people Instagram is just for like pictures and following girls and stuff. Twitter is where it's at, man. This is the wild, wild west.
Twitter,
yeah, man. Yeah, Twitter crazy. Now, how surprised were you when you heard that Tank was going to be fighting Jake Paul? Because that was like a huge announcement that just dropped out of nowhere.
I mean, for you guys, it was a huge. Honestly. I been knew this was happening. I can finally say it now. I been knew it was happening. Why? Because after the draw, we were back in the locker room. Jake walked into the locker room with his manager or whoever. I don't know who the guy exactly was, but he was associated with Jake. And they were talking, and Jake had said, like, yeah, I signed my contract. Like, we're going to do this. And I'm like, I'm looking at Jake like, what are you talking about, bro? What do you mean? But he was having this conversation. Just, you know, like, so they were already just negotiating this, I guess, even before the Lamont Roach fight. That's what people don't know. But I got to be with somebody, like, where the news first broke. And this was something that even he was even interested in. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of knew it. I just didn't know when it was going to take place. I didn't know if it was going to be after the rematch or if it was going to be next year, 2 years from now, I don't know. But I knew for sure that they were already in talks and trying to do something. And I knew it was going to be big on Netflix. I did know that. And, you know what I'm saying? It's not my business to say. you know, I don't have, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm not making no money from this. So it wasn't my business to run around and say, hey, yeah,
might,
I got
some exclusive. If you get on the card, you might. You never know.
Yeah. Now, see, a lot of people been saying that. I don't know. It's a lot of people, you know, a lot of fighters in this world, a lot of opportunities. You never know. If I get the call, that'll be amazing. But, you know what I'm saying, I just keep my head down to work and opportunities just fall into my lap. So that'll be an amazing opportunity if I can fight on Netflix. If not, it's okay. I'm still going to tune in and watch and, you know, just be a boxing fan because I'm, again, Tank is Tank, you know what I'm saying? He's somebody that put on for me, you know, before people was even noticing me. So I'm always going to just support, you know, what he do regardless of what anybody's saying. I'm never mad. That's what the Twitter thing was about. Everybody was upset about that. I said that I am not going to down a fighter because a fighter went the money route. If they're making $100 million or whatever for, you know, the exhibition, like, you're not going to see Scooter Davis. I don't care who it is. If he's from, if this was Shakur, if this was Devin Haney, if this was Adrian Brown, if this was anybody, I don't care who you were. If you're never going to hear Scooter Davis down a fighter because somebody turned down a real fight for $30 million and he took the $100 million fight. I feel like I've been saying this quote for the last 2 days, like, math is math. 30 to 100, like, are we serious here? I feel like math is math, man. Like, and it's no pension. It's no pension or 401k or no, you know, retirement plan for boxing. It's no NFL PA or, you know, some basketball associate. Like, a lot of these other sports have certain things where they look after their athletes after their career is over. It's not like that for boxing. It's just, it's what it is. It's what you do with your money. You got to invest. You got to make the most amount of money you can in your time in the sport. And that's it. Once the checks stop rolling in, they stop rolling in. So you better hope you made smart investments or you did good things or you got endorsements and things like that. So somebody taking a money route and trying to make sure to secure their generational wealth and secure their financial stability, I'm not ever going to down them because I understand your mindset. Like, yeah, get that money. Get that chicken, man. Because people don't care. Fans are going to say, oh, yeah, this person is ducking and whatever. But in 5-10 years, you're still not paying my bills. Like, when I'm done, you're not going to pay my bills. You're not going to make sure my daughter or my son or whoever has school clothes or has food in their mouth or has, you know, new shoes. You're not going to take care of my elderly grandmother or my mom or what. Like, you know, right, anything can happen. So for a fighter, he's trying to make sure, like, man, he got his money. He's still, you know, he's stable and he don't ever have to go back to the hood. From where we came from, we know where the worst of the worst is. We've been through the worst of the worst. We're our reason for doing this and our reason for working so hard is to never go back to where we at. That's like, nobody wants to, I don't never want to be broke again. I remember them days of being starving and going off of $20 a week and doing it. So for somebody that had holes in their jeans and holes in their socks and all that, if you're able, a black man in America is able to make $100 million, come on, man. Like, I want to salute you every time because, again, just, you know, 100 years ago, we were slaves. You know what I'm saying? So now, now the fact that we got this opportunity now, like, come on now. You got to just salute and just be happy that this is a part of life now. And for me, I look at it a different angle. If Tank could get $100 million now, what can I do in 10 years? How much money can I make?
Yeah,
I look at it like that, and people don't. Again, but fans are not exactly boxers. They're getting a 9-to-5 check. They just want to tune in. We're gladiators to them, and they want to want to be entertained. But we still humans now. We still need money to go get gas, and we got to go get out. We got to brush our teeth and wash our face and do the same thing like y'all as well. We're no different. We just know how to fight.
Now this might sound like a stupid question, but who wins that fight between Tank and Jake Paul?
I'm a go Tank because he's the bigger, I mean, he's a better fighter, but I don't even know how that fight is going to be. It's an exhibition. I don't know what stipulations is going to be in the fight or, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't care. As long as both of them get out of there safe and they make their money, Scooter Davis is happy.
Yeah, I had to ask you because, like, I've been talking to people around boxing, and for some reason, everybody keep telling me that Jake Paul might beat Tank because he's too big. And I'm like, bro, This is Tank fucking Davis. He's like one of the best boxers in the world. It, the size ain't gonna matter when it comes to the skills, and Tank's still hitting. So yeah. I was like, I don't know, man.
I mean, I will. I can't attest to this, that I've seen Tank break down heavyweights and big guys. So it's not like a, as much as it sounds crazy, like, oh, he's fighting a guy this big, but Tank does crazy stuff like this all the time. It is, but that's why I said the stipulations, don't let them have something like 16 ounce gloves on and anything like that, because it might be bad then, because he comfortable. He don't have the same, like, you know, fighting in 10 ounces or 8 ounces, it's a lot different when you're getting hit. But them 16 sparring, it's pretty much like sparring. Yeah, that he does. He does that all the time, and I've seen him break down, you know, light heavyweights and heavyweight guys, so... It's interesting to see. I'm just happy that, you know, that boy about to be 100 M's up. That's crazy.
Now, if you had to fight in an exhibition or a crossover fight, who would be your opponent, your dream opponent?
I don't even know. I ain't gonna lie. I don't like guys in the YouTube world that claim to be boxers, but they play with the sport like you're halftime. You can't say that you want to fight. Like, it's a guy, I think his name, like, Dean the Great.
Oh, Dean the Great.
Right. Like, that right there is like, bro, hold on. Like, I get it. You've been, you know, doing whatever to people in your gym, and, you know, you've been fighting and doing certain things, but, like, It's totally different. Like, Shakur is world class. You like him or not, or like his style or not. Like, bro, that is a world class fighter. Are you crazy? Like, you he will put you on your back pockets, bro. You better chill. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't like fighters like that, you know what I'm saying, they do it half the time and then they just wanna come in and be like, oh yeah, I can just beat the great fighters, or yeah, I can beat it tonight. I get it, it's all marketing and publicity, but bro, like, chill. Like, respect. You can do it respectfully. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to call out and make a joke out of it, make content, all right, do it that way. But, like, he keep walking up on people like he really that. Like, bro, somebody will really, like, one of these boxers will really hit you on your melon and you won't be right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you white. This sport is something like, it's people that could be, you can be a vegetable. You know what I'm saying? So, like, don't play with the sport and don't play with people that take the sport serious. Like, you know, it's lanes and it's weight classes, it's all that in boxing for a reason. So, like, respect it, bro.
All right, so Scooter Davis versus Dean the Great. Check. All right, we gonna get that one going now.
hey, listen. I ain't even mad at that. I'm not even mad at that. I'm not even gonna say I'm looking for that fight or tripping on that fight. But
again, but if it's offered and the money right,
the money right, and it's crazy. Yeah, let's get it on. I'll show you something.
No, you're in one of the most competitive divisions in boxing. You're in 135, man. You got guys like obviously Tank. You got Shakur. Mm-hmm. You got Raymond Mortaya, who's champion now. Who would you say are the best guys currently in the 135 pound division?
I feel like you kind of named the top two for me. You know, the Tank Davises and the Shakurs. I feel like, of course, well, now Keyshawn's not at 135 anymore, but I feel like those names, like, you got the young Abdullah Mason coming up. You got, of course, me. You got the Floyd Schofield. Who else is the 135 fighter that I feel like is... I feel like the Zaquan Moses, the Carmel Motons, and things like that. Now, I feel like that if Lamont stays, you know, he's one of the top names. Lamont Roach, you know?
Yeah, I saw today Floyd...
I am not gonna lie. I literally, before we got on here, I was asleep. I went on Instagram and I seen Lamont post something with Floyd, and then I seen just right before I logged on, that's why I was a little erratic when I first got on, didn't know how to work it. I seen Carmel and Lamont Roach going back. Like, what's going on?
Floyd,
so I'm a little Floyd, late. Floyd, so y'all gotta fill me in. Tell me, like, let me know what's going on. I was traveling. I wasn't paying attention. I was on a flight.
So Floyd put out a poster. He said, "Yo, Lamont, since you ain't got no fight, why don't you fight my kid, Carmel Moten? We could do the fight. I'll even put up the money for the fight. So Lamont was like, nah, he young. Come on, you know that's not going to happen. How about you come out of retirement and I fight you instead? So now they all going back and forth.
Okay.
Carmel feels the type of way because Lamont wasn't, you know, showing the proper respect because he wanted to fight him and all this stuff. I'm like, come on, man. It's good publicity.
Yeah.
It's good publicity.
It's great. Again, I'm happy for the fact that even Lamont's name is even in the hat. The fact that Lamont Roach's name is being mentioned by Floyd Mayweather, like, I don't think, like, that's crazy. You know, for him, we watched Floyd growing up, so the fact that Floyd could say anything about one of us, or it's like, wow, like, dang, it's possible for us to be on that level. But, I mean, I don't know what's going on. Like, what's up with these young fighters just trying to just, like, jump into, you know, just levels. Like, I think, what's Carmel, like, 7-0?
Hey, man, we might be saying that about you in a couple months, bro.
Yeah, but see, that's the difference. Like, I know that I'm going to be on that level, so I'm not trying to just jump out there and just because, oh, yeah, like, no, you got to crawl before you walk. Like, at this point, I feel like, especially in this era of boxing, like, one loss or one whatever is detrimental to your career. So you got to be very strategic in your moves. And then once you get to them 50-50 fights, then you're going to have to just drop your nuts and fight. But these young, like, Carmelo probably hasn't even, you know, got into his man strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, let yourself develop before you start calling these guys. Like, Lamont just turned 30. Like, he got a kid. He got that daddy strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different. Like, you know, Carmelo, take your time. Like, I get it. Like, skill-wise, I understand you. You know what I'm saying? We, as young fighters, we can compete because we've been on that level in skill-wise. But, bro, let yourself develop. Let your mind mature. You know what I'm saying? You got Floyd behind you. You got all these people behind you. Like, take your time, bro. You're gonna be you already a household name now. You don't gotta jump out there and do all that stuff for people to recognize you now. You're Carmel Moten. Like, I feel like he should just, you know, just take his time and start and wait for the fighters in his era. But I mean, that's just my opinion. But I'm not ever going down again, I'm not downing no fighter for daring to be great though. Like, if you wanna be great, go ahead, do your thing.
But now, how far are you from moving from prospect to contender to, you know, challenging for a world title, in your opinion?
I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure. Right now I'm at my second 6-round fight. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been to the 3rd round yet. You know what I mean? I ain't really got the stool too many times. So, like, I'm building. I know to understand before you get to a certain level, you gotta get experience. So I don't want to, again, I'm not just trying to jump out there and you know, be in a position where I'm not ready as far as the rounds or things like that. But as far as any, I don't care if, like, skill for skill, I don't care pound for pound. Like, I could do it with the best of them. I feel like I got the best skills in boxing. But, again, I understand that boxing is a business. I'm learning that now. Boxing is a business. Like, it's not just about, just because he can fight. Or, yeah, this is why he deserves. There's so many fighters out here that can fight that you probably don't even know their name. So I understand it's a business and you got to, you know, crawl before you walk. And you got to find the right dancing partner. For somebody to shoot up to superstardom, you got to either have a promoter or something that makes you look like and promotes you to be a superstar. Or you got to have a right dancing partner and beat the dancing partner to boost yourself into superstardom. So for me, to answer your question, I'd say year and a half, too.
That's not bad. Now, how comfortable are you at 135? This is your weight class. You're going to be here for a while?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not moving from 135. I'm a 135-pounder. I don't have problems making this weight at all. It's pretty much easy. So, I'm campaigning at 135. I'll be here for a while.
Okay, because this is one of the glamour divisions of boxing, you know, one of the original eight. What you said you've been into sports since you were 4, but what got you into boxing specifically?
My father, I've always been very athletic, and I was really good at football, and my dad wanted me to stay in shape in the off season. He never wanted me to be sitting around. Like, I had a six pack since I was 4 years old. Like, I never got chubby. I've never been a out of shape kid ever. So my dad wanted me to stay in shape in the off season, and you know everybody talks about the boxing training. So it started like that, like okay, we're just gonna do it for conditioning. And then I got into the ring. Somebody asked me, did I want to spar? And I got in the ring, and I was beating up. I was like 7, and I was beating up kids that were like 10 or 11. And everybody was looking at me like, "You sure you ain't done this before? This your first time boxing? Or your first?" And it was like, "Yeah, it was just." But I was just a natural at it. It was just certain things. It was just instinctive. And certain things I did was just, you know, just on the fly, and it just looked, it just had a certain look about it. I don't know. I guess people kept telling me, they've been telling me all my life, you know, I just got that it factor. I don't know what that it factor is, but I guess you see it. So I would just continue. That's why I always continue to just do me and be me, you know, because that's what makes people draw to me being me.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, because I did check out an interview that you did with my girl Summer Hill not too long ago. It seems like, you know, you were telling her basically you've been excelling at every level, almost like beyond your years, fighting people that's, you know, more experienced than you, maybe a little bit bigger than you, older than you, and you were still putting in work. Like, when did you realize, yo, this is what I want to do?
I told my dad, I think I was about in the, I said about in the 6th or 7th grade. I remember, I didn't really, I was talking, but I didn't really realize what I was saying. But I remember he was just having this conversation and just about, like, you know, what you want to do with your life. Like, you can't just, you know, you can't just be a guy that just lounge around. Like, we're not doing no bum stuff. Like, we're not going to just be no bum around that's just, you know, living with your parents and not doing anything. People be smoking all day and not getting no jobs and having big, you know, we're not going down that route, which was, he already knew I wasn't, but we just had, again, we're having a fatherly conversation. He giving me it. And I was telling him, like, I just looked him dead in his eye. I remember it was just me and him. And I was like, Dad, I want to be world champion. And he just looked at me like, you for real? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be world champion. Like, and I was like, I ain't nothing gonna stop me. Like, I don't, he was talking about going to college and getting his trade and doing that. I'm like, I'm gonna be world champion. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, and I ain't gotta worry about none of that. Like, this is what I'm doing. And he was just like, all right, you know, you gotta work for it. And I was just like, that was never my problem, working. I was never allergic to work. Hard work is easy to me because that's all I know. I never knew nothing else but where my father made me, like, to the point my father pushed me and did certain things to me. And I told him, like, I can't disclose certain things because I told him I'm going to write a book on him. Because, yeah, like, y'all need to know some of the stuff I went through. But, like, you know, to the point where hard work became just normal, literally. Like, just if you think about just the most excruciating exercises or just crazy things that we do. Like, I'll give you just give you one right here. It's one I always tell. Like, I remember when I was about 8 or 9, I would be, you know, boxing, doing my thing, sparring with again. So if I'm 8 or 9, they're like 12, 13. I'm sparring these guys. And I'll be going rounds and I'll be doing good. And then probably that last round, I'll get tired. And they'll start hitting me with some body shots and they'll hurt or whatever. And I'll be telling my dad. My dad would know me, like, he'd know that, like, the body shots affect me. The body shots only affect me because I was tired. Because when I was fresh, I was touching them up. So this is like, we'll get out of practice about 9:30 at night or whatever. And my dad would take me to, in Maryland, it's called Rosecroft Raceway. It's a horse track. He would make me run the horse track 3 laps. Do y'all understand how big a horse track is? That's like a mile or something, a mile and a half a lap. I'm 9 years old. It's dark as hell. Bats and stuff flying around. My father like, yeah, run. You ain't going to get tired.
Yeah, this sound like some Air Wolf James Kirkland shit, man.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that was life. Like, you got to understand, like, that's not a made-up story. That was life. Like, that was really life. Before I went home, before I ate dinner, and then, like, that's what I had to do. Even when I got older, like, and that's the thing. It's all the stars aligned, because even when I got older, my dad wasn't really, like, the disciplinarian in my boxing career like he was at my younger age. Like, Burton Hunter did the same thing. I used to be tired as hell from going to school at 7 in the morning because Coach Barry don't want to let me out of the gym until 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, midnight on a school night. This is a random Tuesday.
Gotta get that work in, man.
Yeah, like, I'm like, what's going, like, come on, like, you know what I'm saying? Most parents would be like, nah, my kid got school. My parents was right there sitting right down, like, go ahead. Because they knew what they wanted me to be. They understand what it took. They understood that we had to be at a certain level. So, like, man, I had a crazy childhood. Like, I wasn't able to do nothing. I wasn't able to go to the parties. I wasn't able to, you know what I'm saying, really go be with the girls. It's like, nah, it was practice. I couldn't do high school activities, go to the basketball games and football games. And, like, nah, it was, I got to go to practice. And that's what it was. It was life.
Now, when you finally decided to turn pro, why didn't you sign with, like, you know, like a major promoter, manager, somebody like that?
The major promotion companies ain't want to sign me. That's what happened. It wasn't like they came down and knocking down my door saying, hey, Scooter, we want to sign you. Ain't nobody come knocking. So that was a shell shocker. I wasn't even going to say it was a slap in the face, but it just made me, it motivated me to who I am today. You wouldn't see the Instagram and my motivation and that determination, that drive, that killer in my eyes if that didn't happen. Because, again, and y'all know I don't like to curse, so, you know, if I curse, I mean it. Like, I'm like, when my dad was like, they ain't come knocking, I had to turn pro and I had to fight around just, like, local shows and bars and stuff. I'm like, oh, y'all got me fucked up. Like, I'm one of those ones. Like, so, all right, okay, so I kept saying it. Like, I'm just about to go, and everybody getting knocked out.
You know, it's funny you say that, though, because, you know, a lot of times, especially someone with the talent that you have and the deep amateur background that you have, to not have people knocking down your door to sign you when you turn pro, you know, a lot of people in your position would have quit. Like, what kept you from not quitting and saying, you know what, this is what I'm doing, and y'all gonna have to hear about me one way or another?
I just knew, like, sometimes God just anointed you to do certain things. I knew this is what I'm supposed to be doing. All the stars aligned. It was just certain things that just let me know, like, this is the way. And it's okay. I was going to build it out at my home. I wanted to do it my way. And I knew I was going to build I was already popular at home. Like, my fights at home, I would have at least 400, 500 people coming to see me by myself. So I was looking at it like, okay, cool. Y'all, the promotion companies don't want to really come knocking. Cool, okay, we can throw these shows at home and I'll still get this ticket money in my purse. And I was going to make them show. I was going to do everything else. I was going to market myself. I was going to create content. I was going to, you know, do interviews. I was going to make people continue to keep watching me. And quitting just wasn't even in my brain. That wasn't even a thought. I'm not even going to lie. I don't know why. I did this all my life. I've been doing this since I was 6, 7 years old. You think I boxed this entire time just to say, well, hey, they didn't come knocking. We gave it our best shot. Let's go get a job. No. Hell no. Respectfully, like, no. Y'all going to understand and y'all going to see, you know, how good I am and how special I am. And, again, God always going to make a way. This is what you're supposed to do, if you had just had the faith of a mustard seed, then, you know what I'm saying, you will be able to be okay. So, I just trusted my faith. Everybody, again, and then certain people in my life, like, you know, the Barry Hunters and my dads, and certain I've been around the Kenny Porters and the, you know, the Mike Staffords, all these great legendary coaches, and they're telling me that, like, no, you got it. Like, you're special. Like, you got it. Like, nah, you're going to be one of the ones. If they're telling you me that and they've been on the highest level, it's like, okay, they're not, people don't just lie. They're not good. Those are not guys that are just going to lie to me for no reason. Like, they're in my gym. They see me working day in and day out. Like, obviously, they see something special. So it was like, and then I knew it myself. Once I turned like 17, 18, I knew. I'm like, I'm special. I'm the baddest man on the planet. Like, can't nobody mess with me. And that's the approach I always take. I don't believe anytime you're in the ring with me, I don't care who you is, like, you ain't better than me. You're going to have to prove to me you better than me.
Now, you also mentioned that, you know, you started doing, like, the social media, the interviews and stuff like that. To what do you attribute, like, even just getting the idea to build your platform even before you started becoming a star in boxing?
I felt like the only reason why I didn't get signed coming out the gate was because people didn't see me.
Okay, okay.
That was the only thing. It was not like, I always, that was my Achilles heel right there. I knew that if anybody, I didn't care, because it used to happen all the time. I used to come into gyms, people not know who I was, and then soon as somebody would see me, they couldn't take their eyes off me. It didn't matter who it was, what fighter or whatever, they would be like, he got something. So it was all about just laying eyes on me. And pretty much that was with social media. I'm like, okay, well, now let me start posting, you know, my work. Let me show everybody what I'm doing. Let me stop being humble with it and just saying, oh, I'm gonna work in the shadows and it's gonna come. Like, nah, let me show y'all what I'm doing. And let me show y'all that y'all not doing it like me, and y'all ain't got the swag that I do it with and the charisma that I do it with. Y'all ain't got the, you know what I'm saying? You're not like me. A lot of boxers out here, they're just boxers. That's it. They don't have nothing else really with them. And I always knew I was way, way more than that. And it was just time to show the world. And then as time, I just kept building. And then stuff started, my channel and my page just started growing. And it wasn't like I was doing stuff for content or doing stuff for people. Like, no, this is my real life. This is really what I'm doing. I'm just showing you what I did today. And then it just started resonating with everybody, and people started liking, people started reposting, people started, you know, commenting. Then next thing I know, I found a catchy thing to say. Okay, it's shark season. Now people putting all these sharks, now I branded myself into Mr. Shark, and I started doing all these things to get people to catch on. Like, I knew there's something for y'all other than just boxing, because that's what all these guys are, just are great boxers. But you need something else to make you that superstar. And that's when I started just looking at all those steps and what made Floyd, what made Broner, what made Tank. And I started looking at what they did, and I started taking pieces of their thing and what they did and their marketing and using it for myself. And, you know, look, doing what they're doing and turning stuff and making it to my own. And that's how it happened.
So what would you say looks like success for Scooter Davis in his boxing career?
Generational wealth, where my parents don't have to work anymore. My family don't need for anything. I'm financially stable. I'm definitely in it for legacy 100%. Like, I want to leave a mark. Put it like this. This is how you know that I made it to where I want to be. I keep telling people I want to be known on one word name basis. Like, if I say Kobe, I don't have to say Kobe Bryant. You knew who I was talking about. If I say LeBron, I don't have to say LeBron James. You knew. He's just that great. The fact that you could say one. If I say Tank, you know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? If I say Floyd, you know who I'm talking about. Like, certain athletes are just that great where you could just say their one name and you know that who I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? If I say Tyson, you know who I'm talking about. They're just known. You say Ali, you know him. So I want to be left as if the world says, yeah, Scooter. Once you hear Scooter, you like, oh, yeah, the boxer. Like, you know, yeah, nah, he's great. Oh, he's this.
Now,
like,
you know what you got to do to achieve that, though. 2028, you got to fight Scooter Fulton, man. You got to fight for the
name. Hey, you know what's so crazy? That's the bro, right? That's the bro. And he comes to the gym. We have a funny relationship all the time. Like, when we spar and stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, we sparring we see who the real Scooter is. Or, like, we have a thing where, like, if y'all watch my Instagram page or something like that, every time we hype each other up because we're fans of each other. Like, I don't put nothing but the Scooter emoji on his stuff. He don't put nothing but the Scooter emoji on my stuff. Like, we both Scooters. Like, it always been like that. So that's funny that you said that. That's my guy.
Yeah, man. Yo, because listen, man, he's one of my favorite fighters too, but I interviewed him a few months ago, man. Just very personable guy, man. Like, who were some of the guys that you looked up to when you were coming up in the boxing game?
Of course, the Tanks, the people that I was around the Tanks, the Lamont Petersons. I got to see Adrian Broner, Sean Porter, of course, Stephen Fulton. Who else? I was with Robert Easter. Who else? I'm trying to think of this fighters that I always looked at. Of course, I love the Floyds and the Sugar Ray Leonards and the great. But I always
yeah. But that's my generation. That's not really your generation.
Right. I always tapped into like when people that were around me. So those it would be those guys, the ones that actually trained with me that were there, the Anthony Petersons. Yeah. And like the ones I were seeing on the spot, I wasn't having to go on YouTube. Like, this is crazy. A lot of the guys that I named, like, you know, certain people, you got to go on YouTube or you got to tune in to watch them fight. But I was fortunate enough to be around them, you know, every day. They were training at my gym. I got to meet Jermell Herron when I was, like, 11 or 12. And seeing him host camp down here, like, it was so many fighters that just came down and just, you know, just trained all the time. I seen Devin Haney come down here and train when he fought at the MGM. Like, he hit the mitts with Coach Boogie and, you know, for his last couple of days being shut. Like, so many fighters that I just been around, I've been exposed to just because, you know, they actually just came to my gym. So all the fighters that really came down to the Headbangers Box gym are some of all the fighters I looked up to because I knew they were doing great things. They were doing what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be where they are at. So it was like I always just glorified them because they were great to me.
That's dope, man. That is dope, man. Do you have time to take a couple questions from the listeners?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, shoot.
Yeah, so listen, if any of you guys got any questions for Derek Scooter Davis, speak now, forever hold your peace. just send a request, you know, and we will get you up here on Brunch Boxing, man. We are here with Lightweight Sensation. That's what I'm going to see. I ain't going to call you Prospect. Lightweight Sensation.
Yeah, I like
that. Derek Scooter Davis.
They got a ring to it.
Yeah, man. I like the Shark Season thing, though. The Shark Season thing is fine.
Yeah, man. A lot of people are like, oh, my God. Then that. On Twitter, they swear that I took that from Earl Spence. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because, you know, that's the big fish.
I hear all of that. But everybody knows, like, yes, he got into the big fish later in his career. He was the truth. It was Earl the Truth Spence. He was spent, and he was screaming Strap Season. That was what that's what he was screaming. He started to get, he rebranded himself again at the later in his career to say the big fish, and he started putting the shark. That wasn't always his thing. But me, I always like Finding Nemo. I always tell the story. Finding Nemo was my favorite movie. So, like, yeah, you laughing. See, I'm serious. This is how you know it's real, because it's not embarrassing, but it's so childlike that you know I'm not lying. Like, God, like, it was the movie Finding Nemo and the shark Bruce. I was small as a kid. Again, I'm 135 as a grown man, so I ain't grow that much. So I was small, I was short. So, like, I wanted people to fear me. I wanted to have that fear. And when, you know, Bruce the shark came out, he was trying to be nice and all that. And then when Dory started bleeding and he smelled that blood, he turned into a straight killer. And it was like, and that fear, you seen his eyes get black. And it's nothing that was stopping him from trying to eat them until the bomb went off. And then he snapped back. And I was like, I always wanted that fear. Like, they were scared of him. It was nothing holding them back. And that was my thing. And when I thought about, you know, the way I fight, my fighting style, I always felt like I was a shark. I was very calculated. I was very I took my time. It never was just, no move was just for no reason. I took calculated risks. And when it was time to be vicious, I was vicious and relentless. And that was the characteristics of a shark. And I remember that I came up with it all on my own. God be my witness. I ain't never just looked at that and stole that from a fighter or stole their flow from that. Like, that was me. And you can ask my parents. I played Finding Nemo. Oh, that was my movie. Like, how people like the, now they like Cocomelon or Baby Shark. You know, like, Finding Nemo was my movie. That's what I played over and over on my VCR. Like, I played it over and over. I would pop the tape in, pop it back out, stop and keep starting it over and watching the same movie over and over. And it stuck. And that's what it was.
You know, the funny thing about Errol Spence, the shark emoji, if you look at the emoji he posts, it's actually a dolphin. I don't know if y'all noticed that. Because the shark is the darker one. The dolphin is the more like bluish looking one. Right, you always put the dolphin.
Right.
Like,
you are absolutely right. And if I started to argue this, again, we're on Twitter. You already know how this goes.
They're gonna take it out of pocket, out of contact.
It ain't even no point in even ironing it, but I just be laughing. It's just like, okay, because like somebody said, that's one thing somebody said the other day, bro. Somebody said the other day, under the post, he said he copied Tank's last name. He took Spence shark emoji. The man's just not original. I was just like, wait, first of all, how did you copy somebody's last name? Yeah, I'm just like, wait, that's my daddy last name. What you talking about, man? But again, Twitter just has their own, like, man, if you let that consume you, you got to take it for just shits and giggles, man. Because if you take it too seriously, it will get you all the way out of pocket and out of your sane frame, honestly.
We do got a question from Beat the Press. He wanted to know, would you sign with MVP Promotion? Listen, we're not talking business right now, man. He might got something on the table.
I ain't gonna touch that. But shout out to anybody that's signing it with MVP Promotions, man. Even Jake Paul came into the game. At first, I ain't gonna lie, I didn't respect him as a boxer or promoter. I thought he was bad for boxing and things like that, but he's showing that he's putting spotlight on boxing. So all I can do is commend him, man. Now think about it. How many fighters have been fighting on Netflix, or Netflix wasn't even an option? So now that he's bringing boxing to Netflix, which is a whole different worldwide, platform. So I shout out to him. Anybody that's, working with him, Hope he does your career well. Hope y'all just succeed.
Well, not only that, he actually put in the work in the gym.
I
respect that.
Yeah, then that's what made me actually call him an actual boxer. Like, again, I told you I'd be upset about these misfit boxers that box for a month and a half and claim and fight another YouTuber that don't know how to fight and claim themselves to be boxers, and they talking about they 9-0 with 8 knockouts and like, no. But Jake has actually, he went from, playing around to actually consistently being in the gym and having real trainers around him. You know what I mean? So he's to me now, at this point, he's a real boxer.
All right, joining us real quick, we got one of the fans want to come up here. My guy, Moose, you are on with Scooter Davis. What's going on, Moose?
What's going on, Matt? Shout out to Brunch Boxing. What's good at Scooter? Keep putting off for the DMV.
Sure.
And I just wanted to ask just one question. Who's the most skillful boxer that you've been in the ring with, sparring-wise or amateur-wise?
Gervonta Tank Davis. That was quick.
You think he beats Shakur?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think so, but hey, good luck this your next fight. Hey, keep putting on.
You just kill half this man's fan base, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, I definitely do, man. Honestly, I'm riding with him. I believe that he has the skills to beat Shakur, honestly. And I believe, I know people, it's hard to see that because the way they fight other opponents. A lot of people see Tank, knock people out and walk forward. And a lot of people see Shakur as this defensive wizard and, not being able to get hit. But I honestly believe they sparred many times. And it's been a chess match. Honestly, I believe it's going to, the dynamic of that fight is going to be a little reversed, if that makes sense. Shakur's too comfortable fighting off his back foot. For Tank to be trying to walk him down and set up power shots. And I believe that Tank is going to just do other things in that fight to make Shakur have to fight him, not sit back and react and counter. You got to have to fight. And that's where it's going to change. It's going to be a great fight because it's going to be both of them make adjustments. I never got to spar Shakur, but I got to be right there when Shakur sparred many times. And he's a hell of a fighter as well. Both of them are on that level. Both of them are A-plus fighters to me. I'm just going with Tank, honestly. But I believe it would be a great fight, a big, great competitive fight, honestly.
All right, joining us right now, we have one half of the Main Event podcast on YouTube. The Main Event with Ray and Tima. We got photo extraordinaire Tima. What's going on, Tima? You're on with Scooter Davis and Brunch Boxing.
Hey, guys. Thanks, Matt. And hey, Scooter.
Hey.
So I definitely have a question. It's definitely, I know everybody wants to ask like boxing questions, but my question for you is, me being in the mental health field and, like, you know, obviously doing the photography work, trying to work with boxers and stuff. But my question for you is, what is, like, a way that you want to give back to the community, you know, especially come out of D.C.? You know, I'm from there, too, uptown. So, like...
Okay.
Yeah, so I just want to know, like, what's a way that you want to give back to the youth, you know, with all these... You know, there's a lot of young kids in the boxing community coming from the DMV. And, I mean, there's a lot of talent out there. But in what ways would you want to be able to give back... for them? You know, you talked about how it's, you know, it's kind of hard growing up in the DMV area and, you know, with a lot of struggles that go on. So, like, how would you give back to the youth?
Like I said already, I'm already giving my time. I coach football. I've been coaching them since they were 6 years old. They're 10 now. Definitely just giving them light like that. But I honestly, when I get, you know what I'm saying, a certain amount of money and finance, I want to be able to open, you know, rec centers and stuff for troubled youth in the city, and okay, have speakers to be able to tell them, like, you could be something else. You don't have to be a quote unquote YN, a young, you ain't got to be a hustler. You ain't got to be a killer to get the girls or, you know, have that image. Like, no, it's okay to be an electrician. It's okay to be, you know, go HVAC. It's okay to be able to start your own business and do certain things like that. Like, you're still cool. Like, just because you're not walking around with 100 guns or a whole lot of weed or whatever, like, you still are a man. I want to be able to teach. I want to just have rec centers and where it's just different speakers and all, and for mental health and for all that, like, that you have somebody to talk to, that you have another. Because a lot of things that people in the DMV went through or go through, we all go through some of the same similar things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because we all live in the same, you know what I'm saying, area. So I definitely want to be able to have a place where these kids could be able to come to. Like, I know when I'm in, I don't know what to call it. If I call it the Shark Palace or whatever, when I'm there, that, yeah, I'm able to, all my needs are being able to be attended to, where I'm able to speak my mind and nobody is judging me. I'm able to get answers for, you know, or get a sense of direction or what I want to do in my life, and just, you know, just have role models, have real stand-up men around to show you that this is what a man is.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. One more question. One last one is just, what do you do for yourself for mental health? Like, I know you have boxing as an outlet and you love to do what you do, but is there anything else you do for your mental health?
Music is what makes, yeah, I love music. And not even, okay, most people going to see me, if I'm on, you on my Instagram or something like, y'all going to see me listening to NBA Youngboy or something like that. But that's not even really the music I'm saying. Like, no, I'm old with it. Like, so you going to hear me listen to the Commodores or the Isley Brothers or the Temptations or, you know, things like that. Like, just small stuff, Harold and the Blue Notes. And just, I listen to real old school music where it's like, boy, where you know that music from? The OJs. And they like, but it calms me. It calms me and it makes me feel just, I get to dance and I'm just in my own zone and people just laugh at me and my parents just be like, boy, you was an old soul. And that's just me though. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, make sure you, again, hold on, before you leave, I told you, make sure you get my good side. Okay?
I'll be there September 5th. I'll be there.
I need my good side.
Right side or the dimple. Left side?
Get the dimple. I need the dimple on both sides. Get the dimple, okay?
I got you. Like, nah, just make sure you're smiling.
Appreciate you.
You were serious in Norfolk with your headphones locked in.
Yeah, right.
hey, Tima, okay. Before you go, Tima, just tell the people where they can find your work at and your new platform that you're building.
Of course. So my photography page is Tima Power Shots on Instagram, and the podcast is Ray Tima TME. We're about to go record an episode right now, actually. So yeah, tune in.
All right, man. Hey, I'm looking forward to that Scooter Davis episode in the future too, man.
Hey,
please invite me on. I told you, I'm talking to anybody that wants that got something to say. Let's do it.
Thank you.
All right, we got another question from Sibby Boxing. He's from the DMV too, my man Sibby. Shout out to Sibby. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
He wanted to know, are you looking for a fight with Tito Mercado since Mercado spoke on you not too long ago?
I mean, not really. I'm at 135. He's at 140. Once I move, like I said, I addressed it on Twitter. Once I move to 140, and if that he's still there and that's a fight, then yeah, of course. But right now, I don't be... These guys that be talking, like, you gotta understand, like, they be upset that I'm getting certain notoriety. These guys got more fights than me, than been on these platforms, and don't... These fighters don't... I mean, they don't get the same recognition as me, or they don't have the same buzz as me. So I can understand the jealousy of wanting to be able to attack me or say something. And I'm not... So I ain't holler his name. I don't even pay attention to nothing that he got going on. But he was ready to speak on me because, again, a fan mentioned me, and that irritated him. The fact that a fan said something to him about me and my progress and feeling like that I was a better fighter and that he was ready to talk. But it was like, bro, what you're not going to do is act like you ever beat me up. Like, no, you won a fight when we were like 13. Like, I'm 23. That was 10 years ago, bro. We're not rubbing off that. Like, that ain't the amateur. Y'all know the amateurs is different. Like, it's very, very different. So the styles is different. We're not even going to address that for real. But no, I mean, once I'm at 140, if he's still there, then hell yeah, we can get it on. If we at 135, and then he don't have no belt, like, that'd be my thing. Like, these guys, I'm not calling out no guy or unless they got a belt, unless they got something that I want, and he ain't got nothing but I want. Like, it ain't nothing that he's trying to get on. That's why these guys, he's calling out fight, calling out Shakur, Sandy, or Hitchens, or saying these guys are scared to fight him because he's trying to get on. He's trying to get buzz. I don't need to do that. I don't need to call people out and say, and call people, you know, the B word and say they scared or ducking and all that to get my notoriety. Like, clearly my notoriety is coming from these knockouts. So I'm going to keep knocking these people out, and you're going to keep calling me out because you're mad that I'm getting notoriety from it, so...
All right, since he hating,
got too much dip on his chip.
Since he hating, I'm not calling him Tito no more. His name is Ernesto. Until he stop hating, his name is Ernesto. That's the way it's got to go. A lot of people, because they heard you talking about your music. What rappers are on your playlist?
Of course, right now, when I'm in that mode, you're going to get, of course, it's a heavy dose of NBA Youngboy. You're going to get Lil Baby. You're going to get Lil Durk. My favorite rapper of all time is Jay-Z, though. I just want to let y'all know that. Like, don't think I'm just going to the
inside. I thought you were going to say Chief Keef.
Nah. My favorite rapper of all time is Jay-Z. So I can go album for album with you, song for song, and like, yeah, hold the goat. And you're going to get... Now, Meek ain't dropped nothing, but I used to be a heavy, real heavy Meek fan. I just like music. I always like rappers. I'm a DMX guy. I'm a Scarface guy. Of course, I like Tupac. I like Biggie.
Nobody local. Wale. Nobody like that.
I mean, yeah, these guys are sometimes Wale. I don't be expecting people to really like those. These are home guys, so I listen to them. But I don't be expecting other people to know them. But of course, yeah, Wale is one of the known DMV rappers. But like, it's a guy named he goes by the name of No Savage. He's from the DMV. He actually, the guy, he walked out Lamont for his last fight. He got a song called Reaper. And I I listen to No Savage all the time. Like, that's why, so certain people I won't name because I don't be thinking, like, the hometown people, you're not going to know him yet. But
yeah, I just discovered a DMV rapper recently. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. President Davo.
Yeah,
he like
that's it, and that's the thing too. A lot of the DMV rappers, they were here, they were great, and then they are deceased now. So it's kind of different. They ain't dropping no new music.
Yeah, man. Hey, you got to get the scene popping, man, out there, man. Where's Wale? We got to get Wale popping. Yeah. I've always liked Wale, man.
Yeah, now Wale was the first one really like DMV, big DMV rapper. For us to really, like, get out there and get mainstream, you know, him getting signed to MMG with Rick Ross and, you know, the Go-Go and all, like, look, Wale, a DC legend. So, like, for us, I'm always going to love Wale and always going to put on. I never met him yet. I want to meet him. But you know, it's gonna come. I feel like a lot of people I'm gonna meet throughout my path to the top, but like, you know, it's coming for sure.
I was gonna say maybe he could walk you out one day, but ain't nobody trying to hear diced pineapples during a boxing match.
Yeah, that ain't the vibe. Nah. I do need NBA YoungBoy to walk me out. That's my goal.
That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy. For sure.
Now, are you a Commanders or a Ravens fan?
I'm a Commanders fan. Commanders.
Really?
Yeah, I love the Commanders. I'm just happy that we're not the laughing stock no more. You know what I'm saying? So everybody gonna be talking about, oh yeah, you think JD gonna have his second year slump? Listen. I'm just happy that we went in last year. I wasn't even talking trash. You can ask anybody. I was not talking trash. I was so surprised and I was so scared that it was gonna come to an end that I was just mute. I ain't had nothing to say. I was just taking it week by week. And we were just winning. I just could not believe my eyes. I could not believe it. The fact that we was in the NFC Championship, I've never seen us have a winning season like that ever in my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm 23 years old. The best we ever did was get to the wild card. So the fact that we did that last year was just like, bro. I got season tickets, so I'm there every game. So I got to see the Hail Mary and see all
the Bears. That was crazy.
I was lit. Man, and it was crazy. They were talking trash. The Bears fan was talking crazy, and I was mad. I had to get up. I'm like, so I'm about to step. I'm about to walk down, but I'm looking. I'm like, all right, once the clock hits zero, I'm out of here. And when he caught that ball, oh, we lost our everlasting mind. It was crazy in there. No fun. I love it. It was fun, definitely.
So do you root for the Wizards also?
Yeah, unfortunately.
He just retired, man.
Yeah, bro, that was I'm mad that I wasn't like where I wish that like he was playing now, like he was who he was back then now, so like I could mean like, man, John Wall was everything for me. Ask anybody, like, I mean, he just recently followed me on Instagram, but I lost my cool. Like, boy, John Wall was everything. Again, he was for the city. Like, he was DC's point guard, man. I loved it, man. That whole run was just amazing. Him playing, us playing the Raptors and the Pacers and him hitting the shot. It was the Hawks. It was just, everything was just amazing, man. Like, that whole run was cool. But I'm everything DMV, so I'm a big time Kevin Durant fan. So now I'm rooting for the Rockets just because Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, he is from the DMV. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right, man.
Is he the best athlete to come out the DMV?
I would say probably one of the most popular. Yeah, probably. Yeah, Kevin Durant. I would say. Yeah, that's not a bad take.
You got Kevin Durant. We got, Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah, that's not a bad DMV. Take. That's definitely not a bad take. Definitely the basketball player. 100%.
Is Sugar Ray Leonard from the DMV?
Huh?
Is Sugar Ray Leonard from the DMV?
Yes. He's from Palmer Park, Maryland. Yes.
Oh, you know what? He might be the one then.
Yep, it's him. Him, but I say Sugar. Sugar got the gold medal. Kevin Durant, Sweet Pete. If we talking about the DMV area, yeah. But I would say if we talking about Maryland, then yeah, it's probably gonna be top two. It's probably gonna be Sugar and Kevin Durant.
I had to get my DMV guy over here. My guy Bobby. He heard us talking DMV politics. He requested. What's going on, Bobby?
What's up, Matt? What's up, Scooter? It's Lynn Bass, man.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Lenny, yes, sir.
And then, I mean,
only reason why I can't put Lenny is because he didn't get to finish. That's the only thing.
But then we also had, I mean, he didn't do well. He didn't really pan out in the NBA, but, like, I actually played against a dude, DeMar Johnson. Like, we got stars.
You know, that's the thing. See, we have so many stars in the DMV that didn't get exactly the love at the certain level, or it didn't pan out. But far as like we talking about skill for skill,
yeah,
man, DMV got the best talent. I just don't get to be able to say this to people, because if I'm talking to a guy that's from Philly or Cali, they don't know what I'm talking about.
But yeah,
y'all, we from the DMV, you know what I'm saying? So y'all know, like, we get down.
And tell this nigga Matt, stop saying Baltimore part of DMV too.
Now, see, here we go. Look, Matt, now we're really in DMV.
That's what
talk. Now we're in really DMV talk. I wouldn't usually talk about this in front of
him. He know better. We always get on about that. I'm surprised he wanted you to say something. That's what it was.
I ain't gonna know. I see. I'm on Twitter right now. I don't need people attacking me. I'm on the fire right now. I'm trying. Listen, what Marshawn Lynch say? I'm just here so I don't get fined. Don't want to say nothing. Yeah, I'm cool.
Oh, man. Hey.
It was good talking to y'all, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, Bobby. But, Scooter, I know we've been on for a while, man, so I don't want to keep it for too much longer. Just tell the people where they can follow your journey at, where they can support you at, the best way to support you.
Man, everybody go follow me on all my social media platforms at I Am Scooter Davis, IAMSCOOTERDAVIS, I Am Scooter Davis on all platforms. Make sure y'all tune in on Pro Box September 5th, man. It's going to be fireworks. Just continue to show and just show love to my journey. I do this for all the people that didn't have a chance to. I do this for all the have-nots, man. I appreciate y'all for just rocking with me and listening to me. Thank you, and have a God bless day.
Hey, listen, man, I appreciate you joining me. It took about 6 months, but you finally joined me, man. I appreciate it, man.
I'm still, look, even when I just logged in, I didn't even know how to work this thing. I'm thinking you're going to send me a link or something like this. This is my first time even doing something like this, but this is cool. I like this.
Yeah, space is low-key. We usually just come up in here and chop it up sometimes.
I'm going to have to pop in real quick sometimes and just do a special guest appearance. This is easy. I can do this.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to stream you out and all that other stuff, man.
Yeah.
Nah, no doubt. Listen, I appreciate it, man. That's love to you and all your future endeavors, man. We are watching you, man, because you are putting on for your city and you putting on for boxing, man. Listen, you're the new generation, man, so we need stars in boxing, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to keep putting on doing my thing, man. Just make sure y'all there tune in and don't blink. It's shock season.
Scooter Davis, ladies and gentlemen. And like you said, September 5th in the DMV area, Washington, D.C., on Pro Box. Make sure you guys check out Scooter Davis. He's going to go 8-0 with another KO. He's been putting on. He did his thing in the tank card. He did his thing on the Keyshawn card. Now he on his Pro Box card. You know, pretty soon he's going to be on his own card. So make sure you guys go support his journey. Make sure you guys go give him a follow. I appreciate everyone that joined us today. Shout out to anyone that listened or partook in it. Shout out to Bobby. Shout out to Moose. Shout out to Tima. Make sure you guys go support her and Ray Jackson. They got their own podcast on YouTube, The Main Event with Ray and Tima. So make sure you guys check that out. Support Brunch Boxing, man. Support the platform. You know, as you guys know, listen, the Cash App is always in my bio. Y'all can always hit the Cash App, support me directly. Or you could go to the Brunch Boxing website, get your Brunch Boxing gear. Subscribe to the Brunch Boxing YouTube. Subscribe on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We are everywhere, and we are not going anywhere. So make sure you guys show us some love, show us some support, man, because we are an independent ad-free platform, you know? And we do this for the love. So, you know, give us some support, man. But this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. We will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. sharp on YouTube. We're going to be on YouTube. So make sure you come. You check us out. Big show tomorrow. We're going to get a little preview of the show now because joining me right now is the host of Brunch Boxing, the master of the walk and talk, the master of the sit and spit, the John Madden of boxing himself, Ezra Boxing. What's going on, Ezra?
I'm here. I'm here for the interview.
Yeah. It's good to see you here, man. I guess you showing up for the RNS podcast because it came, it went, it's gone.
Oh, no.
Travis.
No, it happened already. I must say, it happened already. But I just added you so you could preview tomorrow's show for the people.
Oh, it's gonna be a great show. It's gonna be.
What are we talking about? What's top of Ezra's mind for tomorrow?
Oh, there's so many things. There's so many things about boxing right now. Can I give a real preview of what's gonna be on there?
Yeah, I just checked. Okay. Give them a preview.
We're gonna talk about the top 10 most important boxers of boxing today. We're going to talk about Jake Paul versus Tank Davis. We're going to talk about what that means for boxing, the state of what it means for boxing, and what it means for both guys' careers. We're going to talk about Canelo Crawford. We're going to talk about some of the most important wins, the biggest wins in boxing history. We're going to do all that good stuff tomorrow.
All right, man. Hey, listen, make sure you guys tune in, man. Make sure you guys tune in. But this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. He is our COO, the Mexican Al Heyman Mike. He is our host, Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing, and we are out. Shout out to Huey, the producer.